Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Radio. News.
All coronavirus tests in the Czech Republic have been negative thus far. Doctors say most Prague marathon runners suffer heart damage. And Petra Kvitová has received the Věra Čáslavská Award. All of the 48 individuals tested so far for the coronavirus in the Czech Republic have tested negative, the country's Minister of Health, Adam Vojtěch, said on Tuesday. The number includes 5 Czechs who returned from China on Sunday night. They will remain in quarantine for 2 weeks at a Prague hospital. A further 100 Czechs who are in China have until the end of the week to return to the Czech Republic, after which all direct commercial flights will be cancelled. However, Prime Minister Andrej Babiš has promised that a special government plane will be sent for those who don't manage to get home before the deadline. Some 70% of the people who took part in last year's Prague Marathon suffered heart damage, while one quarter sustained damage to their livers, suggests a study by Prague's Institute for Clinical and Experimental Medicine published on Tuesday. Most of these problems were temporary, the study's authors said. The doctor said that amateur runners are frequently unprepared for the marathon and could therefore seriously damage their health. Frequent problems include dehydration, some runners collapse after they reach the finish line, and dangerous overheating can occur, they added. State Attorney Jaroslav Šarok has halted the prosecution of Andrej Babiš Jr., the son of the Czech Prime Minister, in connection with the case of alleged misuse of EU subsidies. A spokesperson for the Prague State Attorney's Office said the decision was made in line with the shelving of the main part of the case on the grounds that it didn't constitute a crime. The Prime Minister's son's case was hived off from the main case last spring. Mr. Šarok halted the prosecution of Prime Minister Babiš and a number of others in August. However, the Supreme State Attorney Pavel Zeman said in December that the investigation of Mr. Babiš and a one-time advisor would continue. The matter centres on the Stork's Nest complex near Prague, for which 50 million crowns was received in EU subsidies. Mr. Babiš and family members were accused of manipulating the facility's ownership to win the grants, a charge he has consistently denied. The Minister for Regional Development, Klára Dostálová, says the Czech Lower House should begin to discuss a new construction law after July. Officials at her ministry said the legislation had received 4,500 remarks during a consultation period, with the large number putting the whole process back by 2 months. The construction law is intended to accelerate and simplify the acquisition of planning permits and in turn allow the building of more new apartments. Under Ministry of Regional Development plans, it ought to come into effect at the beginning of 2021. Tennis star Petra Kvitová has been given the annual Věra Čáslavská Award for extraordinary contribution to sport and the Olympic movement. Kvitová said it was a great honour and that the late gymnast had been an inspiration for how she fought both within and outside sport. The two-time Wimbledon champion, who is 29, said Čáslavská was very energetic, adding that was a trait they shared. The weather forecast: it should be overcast in the Czech Republic on Wednesday with temperatures of up to 2 degrees Celsius. The following days are expected to see similar weather. My name is Ian Willoughby and that is the end of the news.
Hello and welcome. You are tuned to Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Public Radio. My name is Brian Kennedy. Coming up in today's program, freshly published data show that Czech income poverty rates are the second lowest in the entire European Union. We speak to singer Benny Cristo, the former pop idol star chosen to represent the nation at this year's Eurovision contest. We take stock of this year's Dry February campaign to encourage Czechs, especially men, to abstain from alcohol for a whole month. And we visit British-born executive chef Sophia Smith, an Asian cuisine specialist working in Prague. All those stories are coming up now, so please stay tuned. The latest data from Eurostat, that's the EU statistical arm, show that income poverty rates in the Czech Republic are the second lowest in the entire European Union. Here, only 3.4% of working people are threatened by poverty. By comparison, the EU average is thrice that, at around 1 in 10, Tom McEncrow reports.
The risk of a Czech worker falling into poverty is lower by more than a half compared to those employed in Germany, according to the most recent Eurostat data for 2018. In fact, only Finland has a lower income poverty rate in the EU, and Eurostat statistics for the same year show that the Czech Republic also had the lowest percentage rate of people at risk of poverty and social exclusion at some 12.2%. However, this does not necessarily mean that the grass is greener in Czechia. The statistic mainly describes how many people do not reach the standard of living of the country. Sociologist Daniel Prokop told this to Czech Radio's Radiožurnál, using the example of Luxembourg, Europe's highest GDP per capita state.
In some sort of absolute value of what people can afford in that country, the median in Luxembourg is twice as high as in the Czech Republic. Therefore, the poverty line is twice as high, making it easier for low-income workers to fall below it. However, low-income workers in Luxembourg still do much better than low-income workers in the Czech Republic.
For comparison, Eurostat data show that the Czech minimum wage was some €575 a month in the Czech Republic in 2018, just over a third of the size that it is in neighbouring Germany. Those threatened the most by poverty in the Czech Republic are single mothers. Meanwhile, in the EU as a whole, men come out as more at threat of income poverty than women. This difference is mainly due to a combination of two factors, Mr. Prokop says.
In the Czech Republic, unemployment is low and women's salaries are 22% lower on average than those of men. We are in a country with one of the largest pay gaps between the genders. Furthermore, women are heavily penalized for maternity leave, and when they return to work, they have significantly lower salaries up to the age of 50.
The second group particularly at risk of poverty are pensioners. Women who live on average 6 years longer than men can face a steep rise in their expenses after the death of their spouse. The European Commission also pointed out to the fact that the regional differences in the country are rising, with Prague and Brno set apart from the countryside, where productivity and innovation are low while debt is high. The overall number of people at the risk of poverty declined in the European Union by 2% over the past 10 years, for which we have statistics. In 2018, the total number of the EU population threatened by poverty or social exclusion lay at 21.7%, with some 1,264 people living in the Czech Republic affected by this factor.
Tom McEncrow reporting. Some of y'all already know.
In my mind, you know, they can say what they want, you should let it go.
Singer, dancer, and former Czech pop idol finalist Benny Christo will represent the country at this year's Eurovision Song Contest with the Afro-pop song Kamama, which you just heard a bit of. The 32-year-old singer of Czech Angolan heritage won the national round, leaving behind six other finalists. Ruth Frankova spoke to Benny Christo about his success and began by asking him about the song he had chosen to compete with.
This song is stylistically Afro-pop, which is kind of genre I haven't seen in this kind of competition yet, so I felt like I wanted to give it a try because I really like the tempo of it. I'm comfortable with this kind of style of music. When it comes to actual lyrics, the verses I wrote kind of based on my life, I just try to like put everything that I know into this song and kind of make it still happy.
Well, it does sound happy, but at the same time, you do speak about your own experiences with racism. Do you think this theme will resonate with audiences abroad?
See, the thing is, it's not really about racism. You can find anything you want in it. So it's just about like overcoming diversity, which I think will definitely resonate, as I think we all been through a point in our lives where we just were not really sure about ourselves, not really fitting into society, and somehow had to make it through, you know, make a stand. And that's the main message of the song. Racism is something that I found on my journey, but it's something that somebody else might not find in the song. You can actually find anything you want in it. As long as you've been through something and had to fight something, you should be able to relate to this.
Is it different from the rest of the songs that you are playing? Because I believe Afropop is not the genre that you normally play.
I don't think I have a genre. It's definitely not something that I play too much, but it's also something that I have experiences with. I have like two or three songs that are of this genre. One is called Program. So I'm familiar with it. I know how to make people, you know, vibe to this kind of stuff, and I'm comfortable singing this kind of stuff on a big show, on a big stage. But when it comes to genre, I've never really had a genre. I'm trying to not be an artist who is defined by any genre, because they just put you in a box.
Why have you changed to perform under the name Benny Cristo instead of Ben Cristoval?
Benny is something that my family calls me for ages, and Cristo is something that my producer and my friends in LA and in Toronto call me, because it makes it simple for them. And it's something that I've been presenting myself for the last 8 years. When it comes to social media, I'm known on Instagram as Benny Cristo. It only makes sense if I want to do something abroad, I should stick to the way that I'm trying to market myself so far when it comes to audiences outside of Czech Republic. And Cristo, it is simpler than Cristoval.
What does it mean to you winning the Czech national round of the Eurovision contest?
So far, it's just a big opportunity and a lot of responsibility and a lot of eyes on you, ready to judge you whenever you make a mistake. So that's how I feel so far. I didn't even feel the proper happiness yet. I'm just excited. I'm nervous. I never thought I'll be again at this level. So it's fun. It's a challenge that I'm looking forward to.
And finally, the semi-final is set to take place in Rotterdam in May. What will you do in the meantime?
Well, I had different plans before I was chosen to represent our country. But since this happened, I'm definitely rescheduling. I'm going to spend way more time with my choreographers, with my stage designers. I'm just going to be putting together like the best team that I have and start working on this. That's my priority right now.
Eurovision contender Benny Cristo there, speaking to our own Ruth Frankova. The group League of Open Men has launched its 8th Dry February campaign to encourage Czechs, particularly men, to abstain from alcohol for the entire month. The event aims in part to help people become aware of just how much they drink and whether they may not be in need of help. Daniela Lazareva has the details.
February is not the most cheerful month of the year, and making it booze-free does not make it any easier to get through the dark, rainy and sometimes gloomy days. However, the League of Open Men, which came up with a challenge 8 years ago, promises that the rewards will be worthwhile. Higher energy levels, better sleep and better sex. But most important of all, it will help people realise just how much they drink and test their dependence on alcohol. Josef Petr, who heads the League of Open Men, explains.
Roughly every seventh person is ripe for a consultation with an expert on alcohol addiction. However, many are unaware they have a problem or refuse to see it. The four-week abstention period is just enough for them to realize how much they drink, how big a role alcohol plays in their life, and test their dependency on it. It gives them a chance to change things while they're still in control. Tak, aby potom v těch následujících
obdobích třeba pil méně. The Dry February campaign is largely focused on men who drink on average at least 3 times as much as women. However, a poll conducted by the Median Agency shows that 1 in 3 people think that drinking a small amount of alcohol during pregnancy is okay. According to the League of Open Men, last year about 6% of adults accepted the call to refrain from drinking during February. However, a survey in the streets conducted by Czech Radio reveals scant enthusiasm for the campaign. Jan from Teplice had this to say.
Podle mě, já jsem pivař a pokud piju to piva...
I'm a beer lover and I don't drink in excess. When I drink, I have 2 beers maximum, and I think that, consumed in measure, beer is good medicine. I had to abstain for 9 months once on doctor's orders, and I respected that. But now, when I want a beer, I have one.
Michal from the town of Ústí nad Labem says he too has only abstained for health reasons. He is also not a big fan of Dry February.
Já si myslím, že ten...
I don't really think that this campaign brings much benefit. I know a lot of people who observe Dry February, and at the end of the month they go to the pub and get smashed to celebrate their victory. And for the remaining 10 months they drink as much as before, on the argument that since they managed to abstain for a whole month, they do not have a problem.
The Czech Republic has one of the highest rates of alcohol consumption per capita worldwide. Health statistics suggest that almost 1 million Czechs are at risk of alcohol abuse, while associated costs exceed 59 billion crowns annually.
Daniela Lazarova there reporting. Just a reminder that you're listening to Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Radio, where it's now time for our main feature. In this edition of In Focus, Ruth Frankova speaks to Sophia Smith, an Asian cuisine specialist working in Prague as an executive chef.
Sophia Smith is a British-born chef of Irish-Malaysian heritage who has been living in Prague since the late 90s. She started her career at the British Council and has since become one of the most respected experts on Asian cuisine in the Czech Republic. She is currently executive chef of Café Buddha in Prague's Vinohrady district. That's where I caught up with her to discuss her life in the Czech capital. I started by asking what made her leave the IT sector and pursue cooking professionally.
I worked in IT a million years ago. I would not be able to do that. I wasn't happy. I wasn't happy working in an office. I wasn't doing something that came naturally to me, you know, something that I could do. I was bored. So I think I came to a point where I quit my last job and I didn't know what to do. And I've always cooked. I thought I'd give it a go. That was it, really. And because I came visiting here, and I knew some people at the British Council, and I had a chance to open the cafe at the British Council way back when it was down in Narodny. So I thought, with very little experience, I thought I did that just to see if it's something that I could really get into.
So you basically started your cooking career when you came to the Czech Republic?
Properly, basically, yes. So I got my, I would say, initial experience here, and I did it during the time where there wasn't much around here, you know. So, yeah, which is, for somebody who's not trained, apart from working in restaurants as a student or waitressing or helping out in kitchens, it was a good way to do it for me, yeah.
So you first visited the Czech Republic in mid-1990s?
First, as a tourist, in 1994, I believe.
Do you still remember what was your first impression of the country?
It was very grey. The hotel was very grim, and I can't remember where it was. It was cold. I think it was winter, because it was so long ago, and I haven't got a good memory for these things. I was shocked by the quality of the toilet paper. And all the restaurants and pubs had like curtains, you know, it's all very closed and a lot of reserve signs. And it was, for me then, it was incredibly exotic, because if you grew up, I guess, in the West during that time, you know, during the Cold War, it's, for me, there's always some like exoticism about Eastern Europe.
So what made you actually move to the Czech Republic?
Well, I didn't really move. It's just that when I started, you know, working in gastronomy, and I was trying different things, I just had a lot of opportunities here. So I didn't actually, there wasn't a conscious decision as such that I love it here or I have got some family connections, or even if I was going out with somebody who's Czech, I didn't have any of that. But I was in Prague in the early days when there was not a lot going on in gastronomy. And it gave me the opportunity to sort of try my skills or to give me more confidence in doing this. Because by then I was in my 30s. Trying to do it in London, it would have been, I think, more difficult for me. I also like that there is actually, on some level, less stress here. When I was living in London, I was commuting and doing all of that. It's quite hectic. So I didn't have a moment where I think, oh, yeah, I'm going to move there. But just projects came up because I did a lot of special events for different restaurants. And it was incredibly popular. So people keep calling me back, and I had more and more opportunities here, so I established myself here. I guess the easy answer to that, it was because of my career or my vocation that I've chosen.
Was it hard to adapt to life in the Czech Republic?
The hardest thing for me has always been the language. I've absolutely no talent for languages. I was terrible in school as well, you know. I think doing the job that I do, what would be difficult in that is probably getting supplies, people's attitudes towards, you know, unusual foods. Nothing like that now. Of course, I have to adjust sort of like the everyday interactions with people. People, you know, were not, sometimes are not, as polite or friendly. I never got used to Czech food, apart from sukrovi, Christmas cookies. I've got quite a few really good friends here. I've met a lot of wonderful people. So apart from, I guess, service, I don't really have any problems here. Never did.
So you already mentioned it, and I, of course, wanted to ask you, since you are a chef, so there is really no Czech meal that you are fond of?
I wouldn't say fond. Like I mentioned earlier, I think Czech Christmas cookies are the best in the world, and I can eat my weight in sukrovi every Christmas. Oh, I do like bramboračka, the soup, you know, and I make a good one myself. And I'm not a huge meat eater. I don't eat any red meat, so it's really difficult to adjust. Not into like really heavy food. However, in saying that, over the years, there's like a massive improvement in sort of Czech food, you know, over the years. People are using better ingredients, you know, they're paying more attention to how things are cooked. So it has improved immensely. But it's actually really not the kind of food I like to eat. I can't say that I miss Czech food when I go home for several weeks.
What do you miss about the Czech Republic, if there is anything you miss when you go home?
Probably the people that I know here. Yeah, probably people, because that's what it's all about, isn't it? It's people.
And you already mentioned it, but still, how has the Czech food culture developed over the time you spend here, which is already 20 years?
It has developed as anywhere else, because I remember in the UK in the 60s and 70s, it wasn't that great either. People travel, and I think travel and having an open mind actually really, really help your cuisine. People are more aware, perhaps. It's just like anything else, it's time. And when borders are open and people are traveling, people see other things, you know, of course the cuisine will develop. And over here, what I find interesting as well is actually the Vietnamese cuisine in Czech Republic. You've got a massive Vietnamese population here. And for many, many years, in the early days, I never really saw any Vietnamese food. And I didn't realise about this until, you know, the last, I guess, 10 years, when it's almost become like the equivalent of Indian food in the UK. So that will, I think, influence the cuisine. And then the other way, people going back to sort of traditional recipes when food were made properly.
Do you yourself use any locally sourced ingredients?
Yes, we use a local meat. Whenever we can find it, we use it. Obviously, a lot of the sort of Asian spices and herbs can't get here. Well, we can. It's a massive Vietnamese market here. But locally produced, we use them whenever we can. I think most restaurants do. Many, many years ago when I started, I mean, I even had to get good quality eggs from France because we couldn't get nice-tasting free-range eggs. Now all our eggs are locally produced and really, really tasty eggs as well. So, yeah, things have evolved and changed.
As we have said, you spent 20 years in the Czech Republic. Do you feel at home here?
I feel at home here and I feel at home in London. My partner lives in London, so we always joke that we've got two homes. Here and in London. So I'm never 100% home here, but I've got two homes.
Are there any Czech traditions that you have adopted, apart from, of course, cukroví?
You know, I'm obsessed with cukroví. I was going to mention that again.
Do you bake it yourself?
No, why should I? I mean, I feel totally indulged when my friends and colleagues give me boxes of cukroví, you know. So I think that is tradition that I've actually really gotten into. But to be honest, I'm not of a traditional background anyway, you know. I'm British, I'm from London, you know, I'm totally secular.
Apart from your friends, what do you like about this country?
I love Beskidy and that area because I do events there, and I've met wonderful people out there, really open, really friendly, a little bit different to Prague is, I suppose. You know, every summer we like normally drive around Czech Republic, and it's beautiful all over, wonderful places, but I especially love that part of Czech Republic.
And are there any particular places that you like in the city?
I would say I love Vyšehrad. I also, because I go back to the UK quite a lot every month, but when I come back going from the airport, because I live somewhere in the centre, so going down, and every time I pass by, you know, the castle was all beautifully lit, it catches my breath every single time. Even now, I don't go and do the tourist thing very often now, unless we've got visitors. But yeah, it catches my breath every single time. It's just astounding. And there are little streets of Malastrana, a little bit hidden, and there's a particular building that I like, and I still have those places that I go and visit. But to be honest, I haven't done a lot of that, you know, which I used to do when I first arrived, or when I first watched it, maybe 10 years ago, because it's so crowded. So I've been really, really lucky to get here so early when I can have a midnight walk up in the castle. I used to do that years and years ago, and there, you know, nobody stops you, and it's empty, and it's breathtakingly beautiful. I kind of miss that.
Executive Chef Sophia Smith was speaking to our own Ruth Frankova. And that edition of In Focus brings us to the end of our program. If you tuned in late, not to worry, the full broadcast is available on our webpage. That's at radio.cz. We're also on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and invite you to follow us there. If you have any questions or comments, please do get in touch. Our email address is english@radio.cz. Meanwhile, for me, Brian Kennedy, and the entire Radio Prague International team, thanks for listening, and goodbye for now.